There's real losses and there's paper losses. And real estate allows you to take paper losses. The stock market, when people say I took a loss, that's real loss. I mean, money actually came out of your pocket. With real estate, I can take a paper loss, which no money came in my pocket. In fact, money actually came into my pocket, and they give me a tax break upon it also. Is that correct?
That's true. And as you're talking about all this, I'm sure we've got people listening that then want to run and ask somebody about it, and they're going to hear, oh, you can't do that. It's illegal.
And that's where the advisors come in, right, Kim?
Absolutely. It goes back to asking the specialty of the advisor. And you've got to get someone that knows what they're doing in that arena. And those questions need to be asked up front. And I would even go so far as to ask to see what that own advisor is doing.
And that's one of the five steps my rich dad told me, is the reason you want to have good advice is because most people will tell you you can't do it. And the reason they can't do it is because they don't know how to do it. They've never heard about it before. They don't make enough money to do it. And they're planning to be poor anyway. Growing up in a family of intellectuals, all PhDs and all this, it made me crazy, because just because you have a PhD in ant entomology doesn't mean you know anything about the stock market or taxes or corporate law or mutual funds or real estate or businesses. And a lot of times, because you have a good high school or college degree, doesn't mean you know anything about the strategies of how the rich get rich. And I'll say it again because it's worth saying. They build businesses. They buy real estate because real estate offers capital appreciation tax-free and losses, and also losses tax gives you tax advantages. They shelter with corporate entities, not personally. The poor always want to own everything. The rich control everything via corporations. They have good advisors, and they use insurance as well as corporations as a way of sheltering when they don't have money and when they have money. That's the strategy. You can do it any way underneath of that. But that's the strategy of the rich. They build pipelines. They build one. It may take them 30 years to build the first one. It may take 7 years to build the second one. It may take 4 years to build the next one. By the time they're 40, they can put a pipeline in every other year. And that's why the rich get richer and the poor haul water buckets. One more thing I want to say about real estate, that was my strategy since I was a kid. I knew only two things: build businesses, buy real estate. It's not that hard. But when somebody says, you know, stocks are much better, well, stocks are a vehicle, especially for capital appreciation or capital gains really quickly. I agree with that. The problem with stocks I had was that since I didn't have much money, if I went to Bank of America, let's say, and I wanted to buy $100,000 in stocks, would Bank of America loan me the $100,000 on stocks? The answer is no, because it's a paper asset. But if I say I want to buy a $100,000 house, the bank smiles, brings out a loan application. In other words, I could leverage my money much faster through real estate. So I would put, let's say I put $10,000 down in a stock and it went up 10%. That means I made $1,000 and I pay taxes and all the other stuff on it. But if I put $10,000 down on a $100,000 piece of real estate and it went up 10%, I got 100% gain, because $100,000, 10% is $10,000. Not only that, I got to write off most of those. I got to depreciate my property as well as take those capital gains tax deferred. Now, I never do anything for the tax reasons, but this is part of my strat. In other words, what makes me upset is I see people taking losses. For instance, in Australia, it's called negative gearing. And it's a good strategy, but it's a strategy actually if you have a lot of money. It's not a good strategy if you don't have a lot of money to take a real loss. There's real losses and fake losses. To take a real loss for the tax advantage is really insane.
Well, the numbers don't work. Again, coming back to numbers, because I'm a numbers person, but let's say you're even in a 50% tax bracket by the time you add up everything. Why spend a dollar to get 50 cents in savings? That doesn't make any sense. I think you should just prepay your accountant.
That's right. I'd rather hire it, but most of the average person who's an employee really does not need an accountant. Is that true?
Oh, that's absolutely true. In fact, we talked about how in the U.S., within the next 5 years, the government's going to do your tax form for you because they have all the information on employees anyway.
Right. So the point that Diane brought up, which I like also, is that the issue of control. The problem with paper assets is that your control is in the market. I mean, you're out of control. Who can tell if the market's going to up and go down? If the moment you say, I think the market's going to go up, you're speculating because you don't know. With real estate, I have more control. And what makes real estate risky for most people is the issue of debt. But I can control the level of debt. You know, when somebody says I can buy it for zero down, well, that's good if you got a real steal of a deal and it makes a lot of sense. Anybody can get a zero down or no money down type of deal and pay too much for it, which is not the good way. So there's no real answer. I've always said life is not a multiple test. it's a multiple guess. You know, you're always guessing. But the reason I like real estate, although it's slower, which is good for my personality because I'm slow, is that I'm in more control of it. I can also, by using it to shelter my income through, I can move my income around, whereas an employee and a self-employee cannot do that. I can shelter my income. I can move it around. I control the amount of debt. It's not dependent upon necessarily market forces, whether price is going to go up and price is going down. It's just dependent upon rent. How much can I rent this thing for? If the toilet breaks, that's an expense. So I factor in expenses on it. I control that. I control vacancy factors. That's all part of financial literacy or understanding numbers. But that's very easy to do. If people say, well, I don't want to fix toilets. Well, I don't fix toilets either. I have a management company to do all that. I don't do any of that. I just take the advantages. I take the money. I take the tax-free capital gains, I take the losses, and I shelter my business income against my real estate. That's part of an overall strategy. I have Kim to help me with the structure now. That in this stage of my life, I have so many pipelines coming in. I got another problem called too much money, whereas a few years ago I didn't have enough money because I was building, all my money was going into building this pipeline. And now that the pipelines are coming in, all of a sudden I shift from a problem of not enough money to a new problem called too much money, which is one insurance problem when you have not enough, and you have another insurance problem when it's too much. And now Diane is, I see her more and more often because the problem is I have too much money. Is that correct?
That's true. I also like the point when you're talking about buying and leveraging. One of the things that I see as people move up in their assets and they start taking on more and more debt and more income, they sometimes don't have a strong enough financial foundation, and they don't have the literacy to handle, the financial literacy to be able to handle that, and that's when the system collapses. That's when we see the...
It's called making a mistake.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, and we've all done that, and that's why you need insurance to not to protect you from somebody else. You also need insurance to protect you from yourself. Is that correct, Kim?
Yes, and I think when you take a look at all of the other strategies aside from real estate, you have a financial institution that's involved. And you have to think behind, again, just like looking at the author of an article.
You're talking about the financial, be it the bank or
right,
the
mutual fund company
or the stock company or the brokerage firm or whatever. You have somebody with a vested interest in it. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. And guess what? Those companies are in business to make a profit. And so you have to look at their agenda. And the agenda of a financial institution is to get your money, to get it on an ongoing basis, to hold on to it as long as possible, and then give back as little as possible.
And the rich don't do that.
That's right. They're in control, not the financial institutions.
And that's when people say, I'm in this, I'm putting money aside for the long term. You're playing right into a financial institution like a mutual fund or a pension fund. Or is that correct?
That's right. And letting them make money and build their storehouses instead of you building yours.
Right. You always say it, you say it's called the velocity of money. And what the poor middle class do is they park their money. There's no velocity on it. It just sits there. And they wonder why they're struggling, why they're rich. I'm constantly, my first question is if I invest in something, my question is how soon do I get my money back?
Right.
Because I want to invest in something else. I don't put it in there for the long term. So when I acquire a piece of real estate, let's say the price, you know, let's say I buy it at $100,000, goes to $200,000. If the fundamentals support it, I might just borrow out that money tax free because I got my money back. In fact, probably 10 times more of it, and I'm buying 10 more properties. That's called velocity. Whereas with the people who are saying, yes, I'm in the long term, I'm investing in my retirement plan, there's no velocity. That's called parking it.
Well, you know, and we go back to our first point we made is what is the long-term strategy? If you're planning to be poor, then follow the advice you're seeing in all the magazines and the newspapers. However, if you want to be wealthy, you're going to have to step outside of the mainstream in some of your thinking and your advisors that you have.
Good. I know this may sound overwhelming for some of you who may have never heard some of these things before, but I just want to give you a ray of hope and tell you a little bit of how to get started. For me personally, I think Diane will back this up and Kim will back this up. The hardest part for somebody, you know, in school, since you only learn to read words, the hardest part is financial literacy. When I was a little boy, my rich dad, not my poor dad, my poor dad had me read books, which was good, but my rich dad had me read financial statements, and he had me do financial, I sit there and write them out, do it, and he'd say, what are your numbers? What are your numbers telling you? And I hated it. I just absolutely hated it because I was not good at it. And he had me analyze investments, analyze this real estate, analyze this company, analyze a stock offering, analyze this. And that was the hard part. When people say they invest blindly, that is true. The reason they invest blindly is the numbers let your eyes see what your eyes cannot see. And so that's true. So if you want to increase your vision, you have to have financial literacy, the ability to see. So that's my rich dad pounded into me. The reason that's good news is that I've created this game called Cash Flow. And the reason I created it as a game is because numbers don't ever stand still. Is that correct? Numbers are always moving.
Well, you know, that's also, I know that with Kim, she's talked about a traditional personal financial plan where somebody has, and it's this incredible document with lots of colored graphs, and it has a picture of that moment, and 5 minutes later it's outdated.
It's different, yeah.
Right.
And the reason I created Cash Flow is, number one, was to teach you accounting. You know, I charge $195 U.S. for that game. It comes with three audio tapes and a videotape and all this. And, well, that's a lot of money. I said, well, obviously you haven't been to business school, because the hardest subject for me ever in my whole life was accounting. The reason it was hard, because I was sound asleep in the class all the time. It was difficult. So I created Cash Flow as a game, and people say, well, it's for my kids. No, I created it for adults to teach their kids. The kids don't have the problem. The adults have it. And if it's a game, what's happening is dynamic. The numbers is moving. It's changing. Nothing goes the way you want or expect it anyway. The market is always changing. So what I do with Cash Flow is teach accounting. And wouldn't you say, Diana, it's the hardest part for people is they don't understand their own personal numbers?
Well, I think they have total blinders. They don't want to see what the numbers are telling them, and instead they want to fool themselves. They want to think that the house is an asset, that the big screen TV is an asset.
The vacation home and the car and the second BMW.
Right. Those are all assets, quote unquote.
Their banker and the real estate agent and the BMW salesman told them they're assets.
And whose assets are they? The bankers and the real estate agents and the BMW company.
Right. When the banker says your house is an asset, they're not really lying to you. They're just not telling you whose asset it is. The word mortgage comes from the French word mortier, which means death. Mortier is death. Gage means an engagement. So mortgage means an engagement until death. And that's what Kim was saying, is what the financial institutions want you to do is they want to get your money, and then they want to get it on a regular basis. And that's what a mortgage does. It's their way of putting their vacuum cleaner into your pocket. Mm-hmm. That's what happens to the poor middle class, too, who are not financially literate. Would you agree with that, Diane?
Well, yeah. In fact, actually what they've done is they've built a pipeline. It's just that you're the one who's shoveling the buckets of water to fill the other side of it.
Yeah, there really is. Most people are attached to the pipeline. They're just at the wrong end of it, unfortunately. It's like the cell phone company. They'll give you the phone, but they want that monthly payment from you. Same as insurance. They want you to make that monthly payment. Nothing right or wrong with it. But the reason the poor middle class struggle so much is that they're at one end of it versus the other end of it.
Well, the other part is that they are looking at just the product instead of taking a look at overall strategy.
Right. So we created Cash Flow so that you could look at the strategy. You could learn a very tough subject called personal finances, income statements and balance sheets, and have fun while you're doing it, simultaneously analyzing a deal. So Cash Flow, so the good news is this, we made it easy. I think I made the toughest part easy because we made it a game, we made it fun to learn, it's repetition. You know, it's $195, but try to go to business school, it's thousands of dollars. You know, to spend hours analyzing deals at my rich dad, that's thousands of hours in time, and I consolidate it into one game. For less than the price of a used TV set, you can have this game, and repetition is the way we learn. The more you play it, the smarter you get, because every single time the situations are different. You're taught to analyze, number one, your personal financial situation. Secondarily, you then analyze the investments. Does this investment fit, number three, my overall strategy? So the good news is that we've made the investment part easy. So you can analyze your personal investment and then analyze your strategy. So the good news is, for the first time, it is easier and easier for people to become wealthy the way the rich do. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. The other thing that I've played this game dozens and dozens of times, and you draw different cards, so you step into different roles, and it gives you the opportunity to learn how investments that might work for you don't work for the other guy. And that's the way it is in real life. And so you're in a safe environment learning what can work in different situations.
Yes. Plus, my investments today, what I invested in 2 years ago will not work for me today. Would you agree with that, Kim?
Right. It's the strategy that matters and the timing of it. And what a better environment to learn that than in a game.
That's right. And it's you have a little fun because there's a little competition. It's more ego than anything else because you don't want to lose. You recommend it to your clients. Why do you recommend it?
Because of the ability to learn and to be faced with the issues at hand. Diane mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of people they're purposely blinding themselves, where when you can step out of your own environment, play a game, have some fun with it, it teaches you a lot about life and also about investing and reading those numbers and understanding the strategy that you should be implementing.
Thank you. And as an accountant, don't you see that's what hurts most people, is they're not clear on their numbers?
Oh, absolutely. They, first of all, don't understand their own numbers because the bankers told them the big screen TV and the second beamer are all assets. And so how
they have a big net worth, right? I think, very funny.
Yeah, and jewelry and all of these things that really aren't
golf
giving
clubs.
Them anything. Armani ties. We can go on and on. But
they all come to your net worth.
Right, right. And they aren't giving us any income. Then how on earth, with having an inaccurate picture of where you are to start, how can we really expect anyone to make good investment decisions when they really don't know what they want anyway?
They're blind. They're investing blindly.
Right.
And it also forces you to have a long-term perspective and maybe forgo some of the short-term goodies that you might get to get the win in the long run.
Right. And if we could talk about really quickly how insurance works, you know, because all part of this is as you're building this, you need insurance when you have no money.
Right.
And then you need insurance when you have a lot of money. So this point I want to say, it's really quite easy. The hardest part is handled by cash flow and rich dad, poor dad, and for a few dollars you can learn as repetition. And then you have to start, and you can start that, and it's not that hard. You start buying and selling like this. But what kind of insurance do you have when you're starting versus when you're rich? Can you tell us in a nutshell what it would be?
Yeah, I think so, because just as in all things, there are strategies for the poor and strategies for the rich. And when you're at the poor level, and many, many wealthy people
started
out at this level. And
I was very poor.
So was I. There's no, you know, nothing bad about it. You have the opportunity there just to protect possibly your income. And so literally you buy insurance to do that. You buy disability insurance, life insurance in that manner. And then as you begin to grow and your asset base increases and your capability for not only earned but unearned income increases, you have to switch strategies. It's not the product. It's the strategy that you use. And so you switch into environments that, and permanent insurance is one of them, that give you tax benefits, that protect your assets, protect your pipeline, and really close up those holes that the government is trying to poke in.
Right. I think one of the saddest things that happens to people is, you know, they believe in owning everything, but the rich don't. Rich control. But what happens is they work all their lives owning all this, and when they die, the government takes it. Is that correct?
That's right. And insurance can play a role there as well, because if you really hate insurance companies, well, then let the insurance money go to the government, and you keep yours for your family.
That's what the rich do. They control their wealth even after death. They do it via trust, insurance. And right now I'm talking to Diane because I have several pipelines in place. The money's starting to pour in. It's another kind of problem. And that's what you're talking about. So it's called split dollar life insurance and except, you know.
I work quite a bit with Kim with some of my high wealth clients that are running into the same problem that you are too. Nice problem, but you still have strategies you need to put in place. It's interesting, though. I think there's more misinformation about insurance in the media than any other subject. One of the things that I'm always hearing is you buy term life insurance and invest the difference in mutual funds. That is a strategy for the poor and middle class.
That's right.
It does not work for high income, high wealth people who want to shelter that.
And again, go back to the sources. Where are the authors that are writing the articles that are suggesting that, and they are in that poor middle class? And as quickly as you can, if you want to get out of the poor and middle class, you have to start doing what the rich do. And the rich do not buy term insurance. It's a waste of money.
So, again, I'm saying the brightness of the future in this whole thing is that the hardest part about becoming wealthy was the financial literacy part. So cash flow was created for that, because that makes it very easy. If you understand numbers very well, then real estate investing is a very safe, secure. It's just common sense. You know, if somebody says to me, I should buy this piece of real estate because the price is going to go up, I say, well, will you guarantee that? And they generally say no. In other words, if a piece of real estate doesn't put money in my pocket today, in other words, if it's not making me money today, I don't buy it, because I can't shelter it necessarily if there's no income. I don't want to spend my – why would I waste my time paying for somebody else to live in my house? So it's just common sense. And so we say, well, how do you find a good deal? Well, that takes time. You know, I look at probably 20 deals a week looking for the deal. There's an old saying, you kiss 1,000 frogs to find one prince, while you kiss a lot of real estate deals to find that one that works for you. And the thing, that's a tangible asset. Well, most people, because they don't have time, they buy intangibles, which are stocks, bonds, mutual funds, et cetera, because they don't have time. You know, there's a trade-off in here. So the good thing about it is the numbers have become easy via cash flow. If you need to start a business, network marketing, I recommend more than doing it my route, which was to start my own companies. Because starting my own companies, the risks is not the market that's at risk, it's what I don't know that's the risk. I mean, I've learned, I have scars across my back. My wife and I have been homeless for a few days. I mean, I have made so many tragic mistakes trying to build a system, a pipeline. Network marketing company is a pipeline, if it's a good company, is already established. All you have to do is learn their system, and pretty soon, you know, the cash comes in. And that's labor intensive, not money intensive. So if you don't have much money, then you've got to go labor intensive. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, because you said earlier you either invest time or money, and in time you have to do both. But the critical thing with the network marketing or an insurance opportunity is that you have time, you can invest time, and you don't have a big capital requirement to get started. And then you begin to build a pipeline, as you said, and it's so important right then that you start that long-term vision, surround yourself with advisors that know what they're doing, and begin to start doing what the rich do.
Right. Remember my poor dad, you know, being a school teacher, he was very angry when some of his teachers or coaches would quit and go into insurance. He says, oh, you know, they're just doing it for the money and all that. And he thought that was stupid. Well, my rich dad thought it was a very smart move. He says, those guys who are doing insurance, they may work hard and not get paid much today, but each time they work, they build this base up and the residual income, which is key, isn't it, Diane? Residual income versus direct income?
Absolutely. The residual means that the money comes in whether you get out of bed that day or not.
You can play more tax avoidance strategies with it?
Absolutely. It also frees up your time for looking for more deals. Once you have your net, we call it, your basic expenses covered by passive income, that creates a tremendous freedom then.
And that free time is what allows people like me, because one of the reasons I wanted to get rich fairly quickly and have my pipelines come in place was to have more time to go look at more deals. And that's what I do. And that's why the rich get richer and the poor and middle class haul water buckets and plan to be poor at age 65. That doesn't make any sense to me personally. But as Kim Butler says, it is a strategy more than the product. So more than just, you know, mutual funds and stocks, you know, a career or profession is an investment also. The question is, does it have long-term value or just short-term cash value? And that's the way you think. So the good news here is this. It is more possible than ever before, even though you're not a super athlete or movie star, to still become wealthy. You can start your own businesses very easily because network marketing companies cover that. Or you can buy a franchise, which is kind of expensive. And you can start a career in insurance. Then what you do is you buy real estate. And the good thing about real estate is just like me. It's just dumb as dirt. I mean, it is just common sense. You know, if it doesn't make sense, don't buy it. If it doesn't make a profit, don't buy it. But that comes in the numbers, how you analyze one. It's just common sense. It's not a matter of what are the PEs, the Dow's doing this, what's this mutual fund guy doing. It's none of that stuff. The derivatives markets, the options markets, the stock markets, the shorts, calls, puts, all that stuff. You don't have to do it. I'm as dumb as dirt. The cash comes in. I get capital appreciation. I don't have to pay taxes on for now. And I get tax write-offs. I'll get paper losses. They're not real losses, but I keep more of my money. So it's build businesses, acquire real estate, have the best advisors. And the reason I can't know it all, in the industrial age, you had to be smarter than everybody else. In the information age, you want to have people smarter than you around you. So that's why I have Kim and Diane around me, because they're more attuned to what they do better than I can. I sit there, I'm doing this well. What do you think? And they give me their, it's up to me eventually, but I still seek the best advice I can. Most people ask their poor brother-in-law or their school teacher or their next door neighbor who is just as broke as they are for financial advice, or the reason they call them brokers, we at real estate, stock, mutual funds, whatever. The reason they call them brokers is because they're broke. And they're giving you advice about something they really don't have a strategy. They're trying to sell you a product, not tell you about a strategy. And the other part then is then you look at corporate or legal entities, S corporations, C corporations, LLCs, and limited partnerships. Personally, because I own companies, I own C corporations, and I control C corporations. I also have C corporations and limited partnerships for my real estate. Now, if you don't know anything about that, well, neither do I. I hire the smartest attorneys and incorporators to do that for me. I don't have to know anything. I know three things. Know my numbers, build my businesses, and buy real estate. It's dumb as dirt. So I'm trying to say to all of you, it is not that hard. It's actually much easier than what the poor and middle class are doing. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And it's just taking one little step at a time and building on that and knowing that it isn't going to happen overnight and spending a little bit more time and talking to some more people and picking your plan carefully.
Your strategy.
And then having that strategy in place to implement it. Absolutely.
And to piggyback on Kim's comment, this idea of what your plan is, we've also talked about advisors, but, you know, your friends and relatives also play a role in that. And obviously, we're not saying never talk to your parents again because they'll have a different idea, but carefully look at the people you spend your time with. And
who influence your thinking.
Exactly. Right. And what do you spend your free time doing? Maybe that's the only time or resource you have available right now, but taking little baby steps in the right manner, instead of watching the game show, play cash flow.
It's like going to the gym. You know, you work out your brain for a while. So I want to thank the two of you for your time and your contribution to me personally. If I could review really quickly, that the rich, the poor, and middle class very simply have different financial strategies. Step two is that what the poor and middle class do, they focus on the product, either mutual funds, bonds, and all this, rather than the strategy. The strategy and where you want to go in your life is far more important than what you buy. I mean, I'm not making mutual funds and stocks wrong or right. You can get rich by doing those also. You can get rich by doing Beanie Babies, if you like. You can buy gold and still get there. It's not the product. It's the strategy overall. And number three, it's never been easier before in the history of the world, because before, most people couldn't buy their own businesses, and most people don't go to school to learn about numbers, and that's a hard subject. So, you know, cash flow and the games made it quite easy for people. And number three, hang out with people who know more than you. You know, if an advisor says you can't do that, find an advisor who says you can do that, which comes to the point of all is I have mentors. I have advisors, I have mentors, and I have coaches who are around me. And I surround myself with people who have my best interests at heart, not people who are trying to hold me back. So if I could end, there's always a story of the tortoise and the hare. You know, the rabbit just ran out really quickly, but eventually the tortoise won. And the reason the tortoise won, as Diane was telling me, is that the keys to coming from poverty out into wealth, when there's a study all through the world, was they had a long-term vision. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
It's the slow and steady process.
Right. They knew exactly where they were going to go. They weren't planning to be poor. You know, I'm going to withdraw this money when I have less money. That doesn't make any sense to me. I want to have much more money at age 65 than I went at 55. And that's my plan. So they have a long-term vision. They delay gratification. And what most people do is they go for short-term pleasure and long-term pain. And I do it, you know, when I eat. I mean, I like to eat, but the pain is I get heavier long-term, so I've got to change that short-term thinking. But financially, a lot of people go, when they get frustrated, they go shopping or they buy something like, oh, a new dress, I can feel better. So they feel better short-term, but they're paying long-term on it financially. Or I don't want to invest the time to study this stuff, so I just keep working harder. Well, that's short-term and long-term. And the third thing is compounding. And compounding is, you know, everybody talks about the power of compounding interest. Well, everything compounds. Your knowledge compounds, your good habits compound, as well as your bad habits. Is that true, Diane?
Yeah, I see that so many times that over my years as a CPA, I've had clients that start off and consistently are trying to learn about their business, constantly making it better and better. And those clients are multimillionaires today because they have taken the little baby steps. They've compounded that knowledge and learned from their mistakes as they went.
Yeah, I learn a little bit each day. I mean, isn't that true? Every day things are changing. You learn every day you learn something new, right?
Absolutely. And what was right 10 years ago or for somebody else is not right today. And it's your own ability to just take and continue to pursue those steps. And sometimes you got to backtrack, but you got to have that long-term vision in place.
Right. So the most important thing is that the tortoise can beat the hare if necessary. A lot of times the hares play the lottery or they go to Vegas and they want to get rich quick. But in my experience, if the tortoise has the intention of just building pipelines, having the good advice, they can get there and they probably get there safer, stronger, and they pass it on for generations to come. And that's the way the game is played by the rich. They don't just buy a hot tip on a stock or take the advice of somebody that really doesn't know what they're doing. So there's a plan, and it's up to you. You can do it the rich, the poor, and the middle class way, and it's up to you. I've got one tip, okay? Is that there's three kinds of money. There's survival money, there's real money, and there's play money. So for the first years of my life, I was doing my best to just get enough money to survive on. And I was saving and investing to get real money. And real money goes into either blue chip stocks or real estate. For me, it's real estate simply because of the bank loans, the leverage, the tax advantages. So there's survival money, real money, and then there's play money. And it's the play money I speculate with. I like to play. I'm not into drudgery and hard work. I like the nice vacations. I like all those things. But now at the stage of my life, I can play with a lot of money. So I can invest in these high-flying stocks or the IPOs or the more things that people call risky. The reason is because it's play money. It's not real money or survival money. Unfortunately, what a lot of people are doing is they're trying to play with their survival money, or they're trying to play with their real money, and eventually they wind up broke. Most of them, I would say that. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and it's because their goals are not in line with what they're actually doing.
With their strategy, where they want to go to.
And that also illustrates very strongly the point of what's a good investment for you might not be a good investment for me.
That's correct.
It's not the product. It's where you are, what's your plan.
Very well said. A lot of times I say, what are you investing in today? Well, I'm building a gold mine in China and an oil company in Portugal and Colombia. Would you advise you recommend investing? Heavens no. I mean, that is so speculative and so risky. But if I lost it all, it doesn't affect my survival money or my real money. And that's a very big difference out there. So I want to thank the two of you very much. I've enjoyed making this tape about what the difference between the rich poor middle class invest in. So before we close, Diane Kennedy, any last minute words?
You know, the thing that I see every day is that numbers are really the key to financial success. When you look at a financial statement, do you have the ability to tell the story that is behind that?
Is it a tragic ending or a happy ending, right?
Exactly. And if it looks like it's going in a tragic way, what does it take to change that? And I want to say that there's hope for everyone as long as you're willing to face it and work through it.
Very nice. Thank you. And Kim Butler, my financial planner. What do you have to say?
Well, again, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share with everybody the opportunities that are out there, and to just say that you really have to keep the big picture in mind, be willing to take the baby steps along the way, and surround yourself with people that are supportive in your goals. If someone tells you no, turn elsewhere. It's out there, and everybody can do it.
Thank you both very much. So in closing, I want to say this. My rich dad told me this years ago. There's only two things you can invest, time and money. And most people are working so hard carrying buckets, they don't have any time, so they just take their money and they say, here, take it. You know, you went to Harvard, you must know what you're doing. Or you have a PhD, you must know what you're doing. What my rich dad said to me is this. People who invest the time always get the money, one way or the other, from those who don't have time. So please invest in your education, because this is what this tape is about, and always seek the best competent advice, and invest the time before you invest the money. Thank you very much.